The lockout laws, they came in and it's changed a lot. But now that the lockout laws are gone, I mean, in the CBD specifically, is it really like, oh, yep, all gone, we're all good, or realistically, over 6 years, a lot of damage has been done. Do you think it's probably going to take a while for it to come back to?
Yeah, I think it'll definitely take some time. And I think it's not so much about going back to what it was either. I think that Sydney will be a different city from here on in. We will never be the same as it was. And that's probably a good thing because, like, there were issues in the past as well. So we're hoping that this is a bit of a clean slate to enable Sydney to really imagine how it wants its, you know, nightlife and creative and cultural offerings to be. And we're hoping that, you know, these things don't just happen overnight. They will take effort from governments. They will take effort from people like myself who work in the arts and cultural sector, but also from, you know, audiences and musicians who, you know, they have to make their own culture that they want Sydney to be. And the thing about the lockouts is it's a slight removal of an obstacle, but it's not going to fix or make a culture. So, you know, there's still a lot of work to be done.
Absolutely, absolutely. So how easy is it for city venues to put on live music events currently?
Well, there's a few issues that make it hard for Sydney venues, some of which are regulatory. So there's a whole range of licensing conditions put on some venues around what type of music they can play, what hours or nights of the week they can have music, what type, you know, what type of band, whether it's like a two-piece or a four-piece. I even heard
what
somewhere that the, you know, woodwind instruments were banned. So,
oh my God.
Yeah, there's a whole range of licensing restrictions that we're pushing to get repealed, and the state government has been really receptive to that. So we're still working on removing regulatory barriers to venues putting on live music. But I think there's an economic barrier at the moment as well, is that, you know, audiences aren't turning up for live music because of that whole perception that you started with, which is Sydney's dead. And every time you say Sydney's dead, you kill it a little bit more. You know, what we want is people to feel optimistic about nightlife. And that means turning up and spending money on the bar, or, you know, paying the cover charge and really investing economically into the live music scene.
Absolutely. I mean, that rule, those regulations are kind of crazy. Like, I'm just imagining like the government being like, yeah, this band can play and it's fine, but the second they bring out a saxophone, if they play a saxophone, we are closing this whole venue.
Pretty much. And it is really strange. You know, they have things like, you know, no disco balls allowed in certain venues because
what?
That means there will be dancing.
Okay.
Some really archaic regulations that are quite laughable. If you really want to get into them, there's some really hilarious restrictions. But yeah, so we're trying to get rid of all those restrictions, you know, work on some planning laws, make it so that venues can operate with as few barriers as possible. But we also think there'll be some, you know, we're going to need some significant investment to help kickstart the industry as well.
Absolutely. So what other, speaking of that, what other actions could be taken to revitalise the sector?
Well, I think it's an all hands on deck situation. You know, the government needs to play its part, which is removing as many obstacles as possible to live music and other entertainment like arts and culture happening in the city, because we really see that as an economic development tool. You know, if you have a vibrant music scene, the chances are you're also going to have a vibrant restaurant scene, a vibrant, you know, late night economy. So we think that governments need to get out of the way and let venues be great venues and be a cultural place for Sydneysiders. We also think that, you know, musicians and artists need to commit to Sydney and start, you know, playing gigs again and looking for gigs and encouraging venues that, you know, there will be an audience to turn up. But it's also up to audiences to actually start attending and paying cover charges and, you know, investing in the city itself.
Yeah, of course. So last but certainly not least, why does the health of our live music and nightlife scene matter? Like, what do we stand to lose or gain over this?
Well, I think you can see one of the biggest things that Sydney has lost in the last 6 years is confidence in itself as both a city and culturally. You know, the amount of people I talk to, whether they're musicians or otherwise, who talk Sydney down is really quite depressing. And I think having pride for where you live, you know, if you've ever spoken to someone from Melbourne, you'll notice the pride. You know, and I think that really does contribute to a broader feeling about a city. And that's not just important for, you know, general wellness and feeling you like you belong in a community. It impacts things like livability in a city. And we really want people to feel like Sydney is a thriving city that they can live in and have a creative career in, not to mention all the social benefits of music being in your life, whether it's having a community around you or, you know, just general pleasure, given that you might work a full-time job or whatever it is. You know, it's really important to have arts and culture in your life.
Absolutely. Well, Emily, thank you so much for joining us. It's been great chatting about this.
No worries.